News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings at 8:07. Another steamy one coming your way, like you didn't know that. Dr. Bill says get ready for the weekend. Going to be even hotter with the heat index 110 to 113 mm-hmm. on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so not much fun and not a whole lot of rain to help us out either. It has been a dry August, and July was relatively dry. I think we got some good rain in June, but, you know, really previous to May and June, we were in about a 5 or 6 month drought. So
we were. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
By the way, but when the 4th of July got here and right before that, we were pretty jacked up because of the America's 250th birthday. That was really neat. It was a very exceptional celebration, and the Europeans that all came over to watch the World Cup. And they got wrapped up into it and thought, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it was a cool time to have that. And you're right. I absolutely loved those Independence Day celebrations. But it's a year-long thing, especially here at FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, yeah.
We celebrate America's 250th. And we're celebrating by giving you a chance to win our biggest prize package of the summer, the America 250 Summer Showcase, with a grand prize on the line here going to one person that's worth $4,600. Now, the package includes a $2,500 fishing and outdoor package from J&M Tackle in Orange Beach, $500 in charcuterie boards and boxes from Gray's Craze, which had an anniversary yesterday. And I went to Gray's Craze on Airport there in Midtown, and I have to tell you, it was awesome. And I went in, really, I knew that they were good at what they do, but I'm not really traditionally a charcuterie board person.
No, most guys are not.
I'm not a pro in that lifestyle.
No.
But I have to tell you, I might be one now because Gray's, it was awesome and absolutely perfect for our anniversary yesterday. But Gray's Craze, they're in on this contest.
By the way, I want to let everybody know where they are because it's a little confusing when you're at airport. We generally think of out by the interstate or out to Schillinger or whatever. And this is, like you say, Midtown, but near the loop, near where Airport University just about ends. Mm-hmm. That's where you'll find Gray's
Craze. Yeah, and they have a nice lot, too, beside and behind the building. So plenty of room for you to get in there and park. And their website, too, Gray's Craze, that's where I made my order and then went and picked it up, and it was put together in a great fashion. You can put notes on there and things too. So yeah, check them out, Gray's Craze. And when you check them out, make sure you enter into that entry box as well. Along with those two in the prize package, you get a Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth sound bar from Cart Doctor out in Theodore, a $600 sportsman's package from G&D Farm. And that is another awesome package here. You also have a $500 Piggly Wiggly shopping spree. So all of that is included in the grand prize. And you can register at any of those participating sponsors' locations through August 31st. That's when each location will draw one winner from their entry box. And each of those winners will get an American-made American flag from American Legacy Company, along with the kit to mount it outside of your home or wherever you want to put that. But that's not the only way you can win and get an entry for the grand prize drawing. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, and post a patriotic photo each week on the official contest post, which is it's put there at the top of our Facebook page, pinned there at the very top. Weekly photo winners receive a Made in the USA American flag and mount kit from American Legacy, and then also advance to that grand prize drawing, which we'll have September 1st.
Mm.
Yeah, we have all of the details on that contest.
I'm almost sad that it's going to come to an end.
I know, but we have several weeks left here in August before we wrap this up, and you can find the full details and official rules at fmtalk1065.com/America250.
I've got some people now. Sometimes, like the other day, sometimes people will see me and say, oh, that's Dan from whatever. A lot of them will say, hey, you got some big games coming up,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say, yeah. You know, people I don't know, just they watch the high school football. By the way, our first week, this week, our first game, still trying to figure out what it's going to be, but that'll be on NBC 15.
Yeah.
I think the first 2 weeks, NBC 15, that's where the coverage of those games is going to be.
Which is a big deal.
That's really big.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have people just shout out, hey, who's going to be on this week? I had somebody shout at me the other day, "We dig the pig." I was like, okay, that's catching on a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the ironic thing is, I shop the Piggly Wiggly a good bit, but not exclusively. I was in a parking lot of another grocery store. And this, it was almost like, he was taking a shot at the home team.
You were both on enemy territory.
Exactly. We dig the pig. So anyway, it's catching on for sure. And I'm going to run out to, I don't know that anybody is out at the university and airport Piggly Wiggly more than you and I and Leanna. And I think one day I ran into the two of you out there or something weird like that happened. So anyway, we really enjoy that massive store in airport and university.
Yeah, I really utilized our sponsors for my anniversary yesterday.
Yes,
I
did.
Gray's Craze, went to the Pig and got some things there. So husband of the year, I don't know. I'll let the crowd decide that. But I know that we were happy with what we ended up getting.
Good move.
8:12, we will talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap in the second half of this hour, but a couple different directions we can go before then. First, we could talk maybe Southern Company and Alabama Power or Georgia Power, what I really want to do is dive into these latest allegations regarding the Southern Poverty Law Center and their former finance director.
If it wasn't so ludicrous and or scandalous, it's almost stupidly funny.
It is. And there better be a movie made about this before long. But let me get to this Alabama Power thing first, because, you know, last month we had this story and it came from Lanyap. And basics are that we've been fighting, many people have been fighting these coal ash ponds, these unlined coal ash ponds that are near some very vital waterways around our state. There's 9 big coal ash ponds, and the one we reference most is, of course, the one there at Berry Steam Plant in North Mobile County, right there along the Mobile River, a 21 million ton coal ash pond. And with the Trump administration coming in, of course, they've relaxed a lot of the regulations regarding things like coal ash. And last month, the EPA has proposed to go ahead and approve ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management's coal ash regulations, which would potentially allow Alabama Power to go ahead and cap in place the 21 million tons of coal ash in that unlined pond at Plant Berry. And environmental groups argue that, well, that same program was rejected just a couple years ago because it was deemed less protective than federal rules. And what environmentalists want is to see the ash removed and recycled instead. And I think in this case, environmentalists is a pretty wide net, because many people, including some of us here at FM Talk 106.5, wouldn't traditionally could consider themselves traditional environmentalists. Like, I'm not a tree hugger necessarily. But the coal ash seems to be a serious issue. And you look at what happened in Kingston, Tennessee, years and years ago, and how bad that disaster was with coal ash.
That's the one that gets that gets circled, and it was really bad.
And considering that everything works its way down here to the Gulf, we have some things to worry about here. Well, there may be, and we'll see what comes from this, but one of our three big things this morning was from a story from AL.com. They're now saying that rare earth materials, it may be worth combing through this coal ash and extracting rare earth elements from them. And in fact, Southern Company, which is the parent company of Alabama Power, now plans to build a testing facility in Shelby County beside Plant Gaston. And that project is to examine whether those rare earth elements and some other critical minerals can be recovered from coal ash on a larger scale. The question is whether it is economical to do that on such a wide scale. Now, nationwide, with the coal ash, scientists estimate that the coal ash alone across the entire country contains about 11 million tons of rare earth elements that would be worth as much as $8.4 billion, which kind of sounds low to me with as much as we talk about these rare earth elements. But they're not really rare elements. It's just incredibly difficult to recover them on a large scale because they're in such small, I guess when they go hunting for this rare earth elements, there's just bits and pieces here and there. It's not like you're getting oil out of the ground.
But you're also, so help me with this. Help me understand how you would mine something from a material that is toxic. If the coal ash, if we're concerned about toxicity. So you, but the rare rare earth materials are inside it, and you're going to take the chance to mess around.
Pull it out. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I know that
I mean, that's the whole thing, is that you, when I think of the coal ash, I only think of the one thing, and that's the bad thing, and that's that's the toxicity of it and what it could do to the environment. Now, if you're saying, could the rare earth, could these minerals be in a worse spot than inside something that I...
Well, they've used it. So far, they've extracted it using acid, but this is what this project is for, to figure out the best way to go about that. And I'm sure, or would hope, they would have some processes in place, because they're saying even after you extract the rare earth elements from the coal ash, you could still then recycle the coal ash to use it as concrete or whatever construction project you may have going on. So I think that the toxic minerals and things of that nature would still be in the coal ash. They're right now just trying to get those rare earth elements out of them directly, and then take whatever comes from that and do whatever they will then. But I think this could hopefully be something that is a big enough deal that Alabama Power is then forced to do something with those coal ash ponds rather than leave them lay, right? So which is the main thing that they seem to be headed towards doing right now.
So it's a money grab. That's going to somehow alleviate this problem, is the being enticed by the minerals inside the coal ash.
Well, money grabs have fixed a lot of problems.
Sure, I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying it's kind of ironic that the coal ash, now suddenly we get word that it's got all this value to it.
So this is kind of like a beta test on whether they can do this on an industrial scale, and they're going to get started by doing it in Shelby County.
What's going on in Georgia with the Southern Company?
So that's the other thing. Tie a couple stories here together.
Yeah, because Southern Company... You know, I lived a lot of, eight, 10 years right on the line of Alabama and Georgia, and very familiar with the Southern Company, very familiar with the waters that they oversee, the backed up Chattahoochee and everything. That's all, and that land right around there, all around there, is all owned by the Southern Company. People build on those lots, but that land is not privately owned. It's all Southern Company, Alabama side and Georgia side.
Yeah, and so they run both Georgia Power and Alabama Power.
Right.
And there are a couple different cases, at least, of eminent domain here where people are taking aim at Southern Company. One that I just found out about from Georgia, which is a pretty big story over there, is Georgia Power planning to build a new transmission line to, in part, help power new data centers. They say that 70 to 80% of the power on their new line will help serve data centers, and then the remaining 20 to 30% will serve the rest of the demand in the state, residential and commercial demand. Well, according to the company, increasing demand has outpaced the capacity of its existing grid in Georgia, so building a new transmission line requires about more than 300 parcels of land, they said, which includes residential properties.
Okay.
And there's this one family, and the person in that family speaking out is Ansley Brown, whose childhood home is in Coweta County.
Yeah, Coweta County. It's a couple of counties south of the airport in Atlanta, so it's south of there. It probably, many years ago, was really small town stuff, rural and really small towns. May not still be the case because of the growth of Atlanta.
Yeah, there's that. But then also, like we're seeing in Alabama, a lot of these small towns, many of them kind of industrial in nature, that's just what they've become. That's where a lot of these data centers are going up, right? Yep. And that's where they're buying this land and putting stuff down. So Brown, the woman I was talking about there, her mother, I guess, just came to an agreement with Georgia Power to sell her childhood home. And if she didn't come to that agreement, the family is saying that the utility was going to use eminent domain to take that private property and compensate them to whatever level they decide for projects that are determined to serve a public purpose. And she's pushing back, and a lot of other folks from Georgia are pushing back against Southern Company and saying, you know, with these data centers, this is a terrible look. You just coming in and using eminent domain to take property that's been in family lines for generations. Well, we have the same thing kind of happening here in Alabama now, up in Shelby County, where John Rich has gotten involved, the country singer John Rich, who is President Trump named him the federal envoy to landowners across the country. And what he's been doing is going around and finding fights to pick with companies like Southern Company. And Alabama Power is seeking to acquire the land of this man named Finn Church up there in Shelby County for an easement to put down a transmission line. And Rich has been making the rounds in Alabama. I guess he was on the radio yesterday with Leyland Live. He said, instead of Alabama Power leadership having a meeting, they farmed my conversation out to a third-party attorney. Needless to say, I did not get answers, which means Mr. Finn also did not get his answers. That's the property owner.
Yeah.
He said, the court of public opinion is probably the best place to have this conversation. So John Rich has been out just absolutely blasting Alabama Power and Southern Company for taking part of this man's land to put this transmission line down.
Trump's the deregulator, so this is kind of going, he's kind of going counter Trump, even though Trump's put him in some sort of a celebrity czar appointment here.
And I'm not sure what the deregulation of these has to do, or if it has anything to do with eminent domain from these power companies.
Probably
and
not.
The transmission that probably would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that John Rich is fighting on behalf of some of these landowners who are upset about a lot of this. The landowner again in Alabama, Finn Church, he said he just wants to talk with Alabama Power executives and see if they can move the easement just 200 yards off his property to two neighboring properties that have already clear-cut land. He's saying, I have a solution for you.
We can fix this.
There's a better spot, but Alabama Power doesn't seem to be listening right now.
John Rich is, I like John a lot. I've known him many years ago. He wouldn't know me if I fell on his lawn, but we talked a good bit back in the day, even way before he was involved with the Republican Party or conservative movement or whatever. Just a guy that speaks his mind.
He does.
He's not afraid.
No.
He's not afraid.
I think I saw Big and Rich maybe four times.
Good band.
Love them.
824 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5. 827. To the text line, 251-343-0106. As far as eminent domain, Tim from Foley says, same thing with the land for the Beach Express extension. I think you mean, the Beach Express extension would be the...
Take it all the way up to 65.
Right, north of I-10 to 65. Also, same thing. Yeah, I'll get that one. Eminent domain laws should not exist. That's Mark on the text line.
CB, Carl, good morning, guys. Dalton, congratulations on your anniversary. How many years? Laura and I make 27 years this month. Well, I'd love 27 sounds awesome. And we're at 9, so quite a ways to go to match you and Laura, CB, Carl. Chris in Orange Beach said, thank God they have found precious minerals in the coal ash. Maybe now that Alabama Power can make millions off of it, we can get rid of it. For once, once and for all.
So we were talking about that, and I'm really an amateur when it comes to this. But again, if you extract,
and I'm no expert, by the way.
But I'd give you a grade above me. But if you extract the the minerals from the coal ash, are you doing that somewhere now? You have already moved the coal ash, or because they didn't want to move it because of the expense.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to try to extract. They obviously say, oh, okay, we have a chance to make a lot of money here, which, again, is not a bad thing. But is that the end of the coal ash problem is what I'm saying?
We'd have to wait and see.
I don't know.
Because they're putting this extraction plant in Shelby County. And I guess if it's a success, I don't know if they'd build more around the state or how exactly that would go down or what those costs involved would be.
Yeah.
A texter here says the ash will be recycled. And, well, that's what I'm wondering, too, because I know that Alabama Power announced that I think a couple years ago, back when this was a really heated conversation and the feds were kind of coming after them, that they had partnered with this company to recycle a lot of that coal ash at Barry Steam Plant. But I haven't heard much about that plan since. And, after the EPA news from last month that they're going to allow ADEM's plan to move forward, I just wonder if Alabama Power, even after saying that they were going to recycle that, if that program is actually in action or not.
Yeah.
Or if they're still planning on capping in place most of it.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap Mobile, will join us, and we'll get into, some conversations like we just had on the...
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. We had a shower earlier this morning, right down along the coastline or Foley, somewhere down there.
Yeah, some coastal showers.
Otherwise, we're pretty stuck in the middle of a heat and humidity here in Mobile at Airport in 65.
Who was it on the text line? Pat. I think Pat was doing a rain dance earlier. He sent us an image from I don't know where, and a bunch of clouds that look like rain could be involved. And he said, come on, baby, move on in this way. So he's hoping for it just like so many others, but looks like some more dry and very, very hot weather on the way for us here. Joining us, because it's a Thursday, and we always love talking with Rob Holbert on Thursdays with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. Were y'all out last night looking at the trying to look at the meteor shower? It's this time of year.
No, I know that Sean was hoping to make some potential plans to do so. I thought that this was mostly like a European thing, so I didn't even think it would be in our range.
I don't know. I went out and looked. I got ripped off. I didn't see anything. I saw some Monday night. I didn't see any last night. I feel gypped.
You got scammed. That's exactly what happened. Right there.
I got scammed. I did. I know.
It could have been us, because when we call you, your phone warns you. Yeah. You might be about to be scammed. Like this.
My phone says potential scam when y'all call me.
From our studio.
Potential.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of
sure thing.
We have all these
potential to this.
We have a lot of independent shows that come through this studio that they may leave their mark. I mean, they're I can't speak for them all.
I get that.
Technology is a good thing sometimes. I'll take the warning seriously.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out that phone situation. I'll get to work on that right after this interview. But plenty to discuss in the latest issue of Lanyap, just like every single week. And I guess, why don't we start with the highly attended elections from just a couple days ago? Turnout was just incredible, Rob. And the odds-on favorites came through winners.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, 5% turnout, pretty, very miserable. I mean, it's also the election was just, it was a special election because of the changes in the districting. And so it was only really one thing we're voting on. It just didn't really attract very many voters at all. You knew it was going to be low, but that was really low.
Yeah.
Really, really low.
And I'm not sure, even if turnout had been doubled, if we would have seen many different results. Of course, the percentages may have changed, but former Congressman Jerry Carl easily rolling through his primary. And I know that Austin Sidwell put up a really good fight and campaign, and you had Mills and Berger as well. Yeah. But Jerry Carl, in a district that is very red, looks poised to take that seat back.
Yeah, I kind of looked at Austin's run a little bit sort of as a hey, get to know me type run in terms of for the future. You know, I think he did a good job of getting his name out there. It's tough to run against somebody who you can't call him an incumbent because he wasn't there, but it's about the next best thing. And, you know, Jerry's name recognition is high, and there was not really a lot there that I think anybody would have done to beat him. And then, you had Brett Marquez win his. Mm-hmm. And so that sets up the race between he and Shamari Figures in November, and that will be interesting because, you know, there's going to be a lot of money dumped into that one.
Yeah, and I would think, and odds, I mean, Marcus still is, I think, the favorite to win that if you look at the betting odds, but it almost seems that if there were another more popular Republican candidate in that seat, it would be more of a sure thing, because in that primary, I know that a runoff wasn't a threat here, but even if it were, he barely got past that 50% mark.
Yeah. It's. I think it will be. That, I mean, obviously, it's a pretty Republican district, so he has a great advantage in that regard. But and Figures isn't really even in the district anymore. The district moved, so it'll be tough for Shamari, I think, to win that one. But it may be more competitive than people might expect. I agree with you.
It's almost like if the Democrats wanted it to set up where they
had a chance,
could go into this contest thinking maybe enough money, maybe we got a shot. That's the way it's laid out. I thought Marcus was a pretty passive candidate, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
he wasn't somebody. He was endorsed by Katie Britt early on. I think they may be actually friends or know each other.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, there wasn't much remarkable about his presentation.
I would agree. I mean, I think mostly his presentation was Trump likes me, Katie Britt likes me.
Yep.
That was really it. I mean, there's not a lot that jumps to mind when I think of him. He just didn't really like break through in a lot of ways, in my opinion. But, you know, again, he did win, and so he'll be there in November.
And then, so yeah, that takes us to the general now, where I think the two most discussed races in our state, nationally, I do think there's going to be a lot of noise made about that District 2 race, but we also have a governor's race here with Doug Jones and Tommy Tuberville, and people asking for a debate for both of the Carl race, too. I know his opponent, Clyde Jones Jr., was asking for a debate. That's not something we really see when you have heavy favorites in Alabama races.
No, when's the last time we had a debate? I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, we had one with Bradley Byrne and Robert Kennedy Jr. back. That was maybe 10 years ago, just about.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And, I mean, I think it's certainly from a gubernatorial standpoint, did KIV ever debate anybody? I don't think that happened. I would love to see a debate between Tuberville and Jones. I think that would be a very interesting discussion, you know, even if it's a forum rather than a debate, it would be great to have them both out on the stage talking. I don't think you're going to see that because I think Tuberville feels very comfortable that he's going to win, and it doesn't do him any good. So, you know, that's the standard in politics these days is if you think you're going to win, you don't want to debate.
Right. And, it's not
the guy who doesn't think he's going to win wants the debate.
Yeah, he wants to talk into the night and into the morning. And
right, of course, yeah. We'd like to have four debates, five debates. Yeah,
yeah, but if you have a comfortable lead, it's simply not do you want to win the race or not? It's not politically advised, although we look at our text line and a lot of the listeners would like a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Or debates.
I mean, I wish it was mandatory. I feel like it should be. You know, there's a lot of things that it just seems like people ought to have the opportunity to hear candidates get out and discuss the topics. But, you know, it's a difficulty these days. It's just, you know, it's just seen as such a huge fail if you go and you're leading and you go out and you have a bad debate. And it tightens the race up. I mean, of course, you do that, and everybody's like, my God, why do they do that? You know, that's idiotic. I mean, you know, you look at on the national level, you know, when Joe Biden debated Trump, and it just, that was it. It was over. You know, they killed his whole campaign, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some things that I wouldn't expect either Tuberville or Jones to have that bad a moment, but, I think it would be really good to see that, at least. It would be nice.
Yeah, Biden came off like a guy that just got hit in the head with a basketball for about 30 minutes.
He looked like he'd been kicked by a mule right before. Yeah. I don't know.
That was pitiful.
You know what? I need to go back and rewatch that. That was like an all-timer. I need to go rewatch that debate.
It was pretty bad. I won't anger your text line people anymore. I think both sides were pretty bad, but Biden was abysmal beyond belief. It was just really like, wow, this is, it's pretty clear what's been going on.
Yeah, and he was, if we can just frame it again, he wasn't running for president, he was
the president. Yeah.
Yeah. Which made it all the more disturbing.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
So let's get to some more local issues as well, and so many things going on in Pritchard. Again, it was one of our lead stories this morning about the department and the sheriff's office and even dispatchers running out of time to have enough time to do multiple jobs, but Pritchard Stadium came up this week, which I did not expect to see, and the mayor, who has a lot on her plate, looking for a little help from the state to revive Pritchard Stadium.
Yeah, it was a very interesting concept. The mayor came up with the idea this week that she would like to see the old Pritchard Stadium repaired. She would like to see it declared a brownfield. She didn't explain why it would be a brownfield, what the toxins are or whatever it would be that would cause it to be a brownfield. But that would then bring in money to fix the brownfield, I guess, and they would fix the stadium up. For what purpose? She wants to have the Battle of Pritchard there again, Vigor versus Blount there. Both schools have their own brand new football stadiums, by the way.
Yeah.
And they've been playing, their annual thing at Ladd Peebles too. As far as the stadium itself right now, the Pritchard Stadium, apparently, I mean, there's vegetation growing in the middle of the field. Kyle Hamrick, our reporter, said there was a tree growing out of the stands.
Hmm.
I mean, you jumped cars around. This is sort of like, you're drowning and, thinking of, I need some luxuries at this time. I mean, it's like, I don't know how this saves Pritchard.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't come close.
I don't even know how that helps Pritchard. I don't even know why that's on the grocery list.
That was exactly my thought. And the best I can, reckon with it and bringing that up now is that because Pritchard is going through so many things right now and so many more important changes need to be made, maybe that's kind of like the carrot to the stick. Like, hey, we're going to do some fun things too. We need to get this state. That's the best I can do as far as why now may be the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
The analogy probably would be the best is, you're starving to death, but you're ordering Twinkies.
Right.
I don't know. That is, that's mm-hmm. just not what they need. I mean, I don't even know why that's even a thought process. And I mean, I guess the concept is, hey, we're going to get some free money. I mean, maybe, hey, Mobile's got a stadium nobody uses. Why don't we need a stadium that nobody uses?
Exactly. I mean, really, you're talking about one game a year or maybe it can attract other games. That's kind of pie in the sky, man. That press box.
Well, it's pie in the sky here. I mean, it's pie in the sky at Ladd Peebles. Right?
Yeah.
It's a joke here. Why do we need another one? I mean,
and especially the municipality of Pritchard, for God's sakes. And
they don't even know who would secure an event like that right now. You can put the sheriff's office on that as well. There's so many other issues.
Once again, brand new stadiums built out there by the school system. The school system built everybody new stadiums except for Murphy, basically.
Yep.
They've all got brand new football stadiums. And that cost, I think the stadiums cost $80 million or something like that to build. There's been a lot of money spent on stadiums. I don't even know why we're talking about that.
Blount's is about, I would say Blount's is maybe 12 years old, Rob, so it's not, how old is the school out there? I think it was built at the same time, the school out in 8 Mile. And then Vigor's is...
Well, maybe it's not brand new, but they're still pretty
new. Vigor's is...
I mean, they're not...
It's nearly brand new at Vigor. They broke ground and built it when this latest group of public schools built their stadium. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
no need.
We'll see if they get that brownfield designation. Meanwhile, as we wrap things up, Rob, are you guys going to put a tethered drone outside of the Lanyap offices? I know that was big talk at the city council this week. They're going to start putting
tethered drones. Yes.
Tethered
drones.
That'd
be great,
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
For events like Mardi Gras.
Keep an eye on everything.
Yeah, just for public safety reasons, I understand. But my first thought was, okay, if you have a drone hanging by a rope over a rowdy Mardi Gras crowd, what do you think they're going to do? But maybe they'll tether it and it'll be, I don't know, out of arm's range? I don't know.
I'm not real sure how that works. That's another kind of strange one. If you want to have people yanking on your drone. That sounds like a euphemism, but anyway, I don't know.
It sounds like something that should not have been said on the radio, but go ahead.
Right, I'm sorry. I think the FCC will be calling soon. That becomes something you can't say.
A good tethered drone joke there. Hey, Rob.
He had to go with the verb yank. That's where we kind of went.
Sorry.
I love it. Hey, Rob, all kinds of great stuff in the newest issue of Lanyap, and it's on stands now. I'm sure people have their favorite places where they go by and pick it up. But
You go to a box and just yank it out of the box.
Right.
You can
yank it out of the box. You can yank it out of the purple box. You can get online at lanyapmobile.com and check it out there. It's only $1 for the first month. It's $9 a month. After that, it's 30 cents a day to have breaking news all day. We're doing about 60 or 70 stories a week online that are not in the paper. So there's lots of news, folks.
Speaking of that, football season is right around the corner, and I know Tommy Hicks and your crew there have been doing a great job of previewing these teams and the season. So always look forward to those as
well.
Yeah. Good stuff, Rob. We appreciate your time again, and we'll check back in a week.
All right, you guys, good luck with the scam. I'll see you later.
All right, you got it.
We're off to scam.
Good luck with the scam. Known scammers are calling you right now, and it's Dan and Dalton. Imagine that. Or I guess potential scammers. Is that what they...
We just have the potential to be scammers.
And we do. And we do.
Anyone does.
851, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good morning to you.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
And John on the text line, talking high school football. Is Murphy going to have a new football coach this year? No, I think it's
Sherman.
Still Sherman Williams. You know, the enrollment is dropping at Murphy like a rock. Years ago, doing a Murphy game was, be it Ladd, of course, big deal. Large enrollment at the school, usually really good football teams. That's gone.
Mm.
That's just in the past.
Can it come back?
No, I don't think it can. I don't think it can.
Brutal.
And it would have to be an engineered
revival.
Yeah, I don't think it can naturally come back.
Okay.
You have a lot of people in Midtown who their kids go to some of the private schools.
Mm-hmm.
McGill included, which is a Midtown school.
Well, and you have the CHOOSAC, too. I wonder how much CHOOSAC, that's going
that
to change things even further.
In a couple of years, that could change things up. They lost by 100 to Williamson.
Ooh.
So someone asked me, is Murphy on the UTV 44 schedule this year? I said, I'm afraid not. And I'm not exactly the czar of picking all the games. I'm among the people that, you know, we kind of get together. And
you're the talent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. But we do get in a conference and try to work out the schedule, but losing 100 to nothing will keep you off that TV schedule.
Yeah. Well, same reason my Tennessee Titans have had no primetime games in the last 3 years. Because they're awful.
Well,
hopefully that's changing.
That's changing.
John also said, I would love to see required debates. Only the sniveling cowards refuse to debate. And, you know, I feel like I want to see debates, and I do. But then you actually watch the debates and you go, what a colossal waste of everyone's time. We didn't learn anything new. If anything, they just kind of threw shots at each other, is how it always ends up truly being. But I agree, John. If there were some kind of lie detector that was actually accurate, and you knew when these politicians were lying as they were on the screen.
When their lips are moving?
Well, yeah, that's the main thing. But then I would love the debates, but it always seems to never really be what you expect it to be, right?
Yeah, like you say, if there's like an automatic fact check.
If there were a chip in your brain, like a Neuralink that said, beep, beep, this guy's lying.
I think that technology is probably pretty close.
I think so.
As far as AI, you have AI monitoring a debate. And it could throw the flag, you know.
Now, the actual, you know, chip and brain debate would be a lot more of a, there's a lot more moral reasoning. But as far as throwing it in politicians' heads, I have no problem with that. Throw those chips on in there. DEI Texter says, Choose Act is going to kids who have already been at private schools, a majority so far, yes. But there are several from public schools that are going to private schools. Michael says also with, he's bringing up Murphy here in the football program, as we just discussed. Squirrel Vereen, in that debate, Biden talked like he did at any other time. Suddenly, the Democrats decided he was embarrassing and won't admit turning on him. Hey, that was the whole plan, right? They were going to finally throw him out there and use that as reason to bring in another candidate, which they did. And said, remember, before she became the Pritchard mayor, Carletta Davis was seeking to bring a sports and hotel complex to Pritchard. I did not recall that.
By the way, remember that debate was moved up to June? It was earlier than normal because Democrats anticipating a possible meltdown?
Mm-hmm.
And there it was. 8:59. See you tomorrow on a Friday.